Last week, I am just convinced of this, and I could be totally wrong, but I am absolutely convinced that every one of us are addicts. I believe that. I believe we're addicted to different things, good things. You know, not necessarily drugs. I know my one mentor told me, you know, when I talked to him about coaching me in the deeper life, he said, nah, it ain't going to work because you're too addicted to stress. And he's right. I actually lift weights and exercise so that I can handle even more stress. So bring it on. Come on. Do not do that, okay? But I'm just telling you, I know that I'm addicted to stress. I'm addicted to the adrenaline rush of helping people, of getting her done. So by addiction, I'm not just talking about drugs or alcohol or caffeine. I see you drinking there. Gotcha. But I'm just telling you, we can be addicted to family. We can be, there's a gazillion things. And the reality is, until we acknowledge that we're an addict and we cannot break free of it, until we acknowledge that, there's no hope. You're going to stay an addict. Do any of us know addicts? You know, alcoholism runs in my family. I know other people. Until they come to the end of themselves, until they recognize I am an addict, there's no hope. Amen? There's none. And the same is true for me and for all y'all. That's plural, by the way. All y'all. It's true of all of us. It's just so true. Until we recognize that we are addicts, we're just going to stay the same. And last week, how well have you done over the sin that so easily besets you? How well have you done this week over overcoming the sin that you're most vulnerable to? How'd you do? There's just a great measurement. How'd you do? Until we come to an end of ourselves and plead, Father, please help me because I can't do this, you're going to stay stuck right where you are. And so last week, that was last week's message in a nutshell. I asked someone came to me and said, but Pastor Maine, that's all bad news. When are you going to get to the good news? Well, this week we're going to focus on kind of the good news. But the reality, there is no good news until we realize the bad news. Are you with me? By the way, I'm not condemning any caffeine. I'm not condemning any of that stuff, okay? I am not. I'm not going to throw rocks in that house because I live in a glass house, okay? I am an addict, and I have to acknowledge, I constantly ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the things, the good things that I'm addicted to. Please remember, we're not talking drugs. It may be drugs, but most of the time, it's the good things in life that are the enemy of the best, and the best is intimacy with God. It'll be good things in your lives that you're addicted to. And the difference between addiction and love for God is, see, addictions control us and we're ensnared and we're trapped by them. When we love God, He sets us free. Addictions control. God sets us free. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What's the abundant life? Because most of the time, I don't think many people really know what the abundant life is. Or, I don't know, maybe there's 125 people here, so there's probably 100. If there's 125 people, there's probably 130 definitions of the abundant life. Okay? So I'm just going to look at the abundant life today. I sense it of the Lord, and that's where we're going to go. Here's what Jesus said at the beginning, right after he was baptized. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to I didn't do that because I don't know how to do that. How cool is that, huh? I didn't make that happen. How cool. To proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And my ADD is on steroids nowadays, okay? If there's a bee flitting around here, I'll follow it all afternoon. Okay, to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners, recover your sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then at the end of Jesus' ministry, he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. This is so important. All of us, not just pastors, not just international workers, all of us have been sent on a mission. We are all ambassadors of the good news of Jesus Christ. Do your friends and family and coworkers know that you're an ambassador? You are. If they don't know, something's wrong. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. What? We got three dots again. Okay, everyone say, what's that stand for? Therefore. And then here's what Jesus said. We're going to claim this. The Spirit of the Lord is on us because He has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I back that up. I want to hear it loud and clear. I'm going to make you sick of this, okay? Because we're going to keep saying it till you almost know it by heart. Everyone together. The Spirit of the Lord. Now, you know what I just did? I just made you guys more culpable. When we stand before God and you say, I didn't know I was to be a witness, He's going to replay this loud and clear. I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know. Well, guess what? All y'all know now. You're welcome. Now, how does this happen? How in the world does this happen? Okay, we missed a couple of times. How does this happen? Here's how it happens before we get there. Here's how it happens. As I am walking in love and intimacy with God, and as that just oozes out, others will see it and want to know why you're different, why I'm different. It's really just about living in intimacy, walking in loving intimacy with Him, and then others are going to see that you're different. There's something different about you, and they're wanting to know what it is. And then you just tell them about Jesus. That's all it is. You know, you do not have to walk around with a big Bible hitting people over the head with the gospel. When I was first saved, that's what I did. I took it to school in middle school. And man, if you're a friend of mine, look out, because I was hellfire and brimstone. You need to repent because you're going to HE double hockey sticks. Okay, I was just bent on that. I'm amazed anyone stayed my friend. The lacrosse team didn't have a choice because I was the captain of the lacrosse team. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. Just like next Sunday, at the end of the service, it's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel because we're going to elect four people. You're not going to have a choice unless you sneak out somehow. So here's how that's going to work. Next Sunday, at the end of the message, we're just going to go right into a congregational meeting. So this week, how do you like this? Is this a cool announcement, just sneaking it right in like that? Not so sneaky now. So this week, please pray and ask the Holy Spirit, who do you want to serve on the nominating committee of our church? Now, they need to be a member. Just pray and ask the Lord. And as the Lord gives you a name, then go to that person and say, are you willing to serve? And if they say yes, then next week at the end of the service, when we're here, you just shout out, Doug would be good. Sorry about that, dude. You're up front. Okay, that's all it is. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit, who is it that you desire to serve on the nominating committee? Because we're going to just move right into it next week, okay? But once you hear someone's name, check to make sure they're a member. You have to be a member. That's just kind of state law and all that kind of stuff. And then go to the person and say, are you willing for me to nominate your name from the floor? And then we need at least four. At least four. That's the Constitution of the Christian Mission Alliance, and then it's a plurality vote. Then we'll take a vote, and we'll have paper ballots, and you'll check two names. And the highest two vote-getters, that's plurality vote, that's all it means, the highest two will be serve on nominating committee, then the third highest will be the first alternate in case someone moves away or someone's sick or can't serve. Then the fourth one will be the second alternate, okay? That makes sense? So this week, part of your homework is just pray and ask the Lord, who is it that you want to serve? And trust that He's going to give you a name. Okay, so there's the how. Now here's your checkup last week. You know, last week's table talk. I forgot, so look at each other. I forgot your frowny face. You did it, smiley face. Look at the person next to you. If you weren't here last week, it's okay. Smiley face or frowny face. Okay. Believe it or not, all that was intro. Now we're ready for the actual message. Here's the first blank. If it is underlined, and that's hot pink, actually, believe it or not, I don't know what color. Yeah, that kind of looks like hot pink. The American Dream, the first blank. If you're taking sermon notes, if you like doing that, you're welcome. The first blank in the sermon notes is the American Dream. So what is the American Dream? This is audience participation. Just shout it out. Living the good life. What else? Come on, what's the American Dream? There we go. I like that one. I heard Chevy anyway. There we go. That's in their American stuff. Now, this is Jeff's opinion. I believe the United States of America, our interpretation of the good life, it's just distorted. It's distorted from the Bible. It is not what the Bible teaches, okay? Because here's just things I wrote down. Successful career and happy wife, and then I was convicted, so spouse is in there. Because, you know, happy wife, happy. There we go. So I was very biased when I first put this together. So your notes say happy wife, doesn't say happy life, but I put in spouse there. Because when I went over this morning, I'm like, oh man, you were thinking too much about yourself here. Okay, having a home. Two-car garage, amen? Two-car garage. I need like a five-car garage myself. But two-car garage. Good kids. Anyone here want bad kids? Nah, good kids, good kids. That's the American Dream. And what else? Good retirement. This week I got an email. I don't think I can ever retire. And that's basically what it said. You best keep working, boy. You better get better. At whatever you're doing, do more of it. The American Dream, a good retirement. Amen? Isn't that? It's part of the American Dream. Nice toys. And I don't care if it's male or female, you want nice toys. Don't we? It's part of the American Dream, nice toys. Healthy family, healthy life. Don't we all want that? And you can add all the other stuff. Here's what I grew up with. Here's a phrase that I grew up with. God honors those who honor him. Anyone else grew up with that? I know that truth has hurt so many different people. Now, there's some truth to it, but the reality is I've had people that they've honored God all their life, and then they feel like they don't have the American Dream. God didn't come through, and now they're real angry at God, and they're not even walking with God because God didn't. I honored him, and he's not honoring me because I don't have all these things. That's a lie. That's a perversion. That's an American perversion. In fact, if you talk to people from other countries that are persecuted, they're more afraid of American materialism than they are communism and other things, the other isms of the world. They are more afraid of that because that can do more harm than all these other oppressive regimes. Scary thought. Now, where does that thing come from? Here's part of the confusion. This is my estimation. This is a part of the confusion. Old Testament economy. Economy, so that's another blank in your notes. See, the Old Testament has an economy, and here's what I mean by that. Basically, God said, I will bless you so that others will notice, desire my blessings, and be drawn to me. It started out with Abraham. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to all nations. It was God's economy. It's kind of how he did stuff back then. He would bless the Israelites, and people would see the blessing, and hey, how do I get in on this good stuff? There was even a book written years ago called None of These Diseases. If you would follow the Old Testament eating regulations, there was a promise that you're not going to get sick. Hey, did Elena do a great job this morning? She's not feeling good, and she served anyway. Amen? Thank you. I was afraid to touch her that I might get sick when we had prayer there. But anyway, that's not true. Thank you so much, Elena. But here's his mindset. Even Job, remember the book of Job. Remember his friends. Job's got all this wealth and stuff. He's got like 10 kids and all this stuff. And then calamity comes, remember? And it had nothing to do with Job in all reality. It's because Job was righteous. In heaven, Satan presents himself. By the way, can Satan go to heaven, go into heaven and talk to God and argue with God? Please say yes. So many people don't get that. That God can't look on evil. That's a lie from the pit. So Satan's up there, and God says, have you considered my servant Job? He is a righteous man. And Satan says, good grief. If we touch him, you know, he'll curse you and all that kind of stuff. Well, so there we are, down on earth, and Satan causes all this bad stuff to happen. Did he curse God? He didn't. Now, he had good friends. Zophad, Bildad, and Eliphaz. Or I don't know. I can't remember the names. I used to have them memorized, but I haven't been a pastor in a long time, so I don't remember all this stuff. So, I was a denominational muckety-muck for 12 years. That messes everybody up, anybody up, okay? So, anyway. So, these three friends. Hey, there's got to be sin in your life, man, because all this bad stuff happened. Even then, it had come in and filtered in. If you honor God, God will honor you. Is that always true? Please say no. Bad things happen to good people. In fact, the best person, really bad stuff happened to, the best person in the Old Testament. And then even more stuff happened to him. You know, Satan presents himself in heaven again, and God again, have you considered my servant Job? Now, I personally believe, I could be wrong, but you know how when a dog poops in your house, you rub its nose right in it? Are you with me? I believe that's what God was doing to Satan. Here's a mere man made of dust. A mere man, and all this bad stuff happens to him, and he will not curse God. Skin for skin and all this stuff, Satan says, well, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life away. So now he's got all these sores and he's scraping himself. And his wife says, just curse God and die, you chucklehead. Now that's my interpretation. Are you crazy, woman? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Praise be the name of the Lord. Ultimately, he says, though you slay me, I will praise you. Hey, the day I die is going to be the best day of my life. Because I'm going to get to go. And I don't have to stay here with all this stuff. Amen? Death is the enemy, but the enemy's been defeated. Oh, death, where is your sting? Where's your victory? It was swallowed up by Jesus Christ. So in the old economy, there was this sense that God's going to bless you, others are going to see it and be drawn to God through it. But that is not the New Testament economy. The New Testament economy, and again, this is my personal opinion, I could be wrong. By the way, by now you guys are sure, man, that boy's wrong a lot of time. He's like the weatherman. He can never get it right. That's a joke. You're supposed to be laughing, people. Thank you for that laugh. Here's what I believe the New Testament economy is. It's very different. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Ouch. A little bit different than I'm going to bless your socks off, and everyone's going to see that blessing come. Now, it's Christ in us. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. It'll be Christ in you, the hope of glory. People are going to see Jesus in you and be drawn to Jesus. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, people are going to see Christ in you and be drawn to Jesus Christ. You see, in John 10, 10b, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I might come that they might have life and have it to the full. And unfortunately, in our American world, our American perspective, we add to that and we define what the abundant life is or life to the full, what means. But let's look at Jesus' life as an example. Jesus' life is an example of the abundant life. And so here's, this is not in your notes, this is added in. This is the theme of the book of Mark. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Does that sound like the wealth and prosperity? Hey, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Now, everyone, we're going to eat, right? We're going to eat in a little bit. I hope everyone comes. If you had other plans, like Pastor Trevor said, they'll hold. At least eat food here, and then if you go out afterward, you won't have to buy as much food out. It'll save you money. Okay? We understand if you have to go, you have to go, but you're welcome. But I promise you, and you guys already know it that have seen me, I will not be in there chowing down. I have a coffee or something. I'll be coming. You guys okay? You need anything? You need anything? You need anything? You need anything? Leaders eat last. It's a book. I believe it. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Our American culture has got that so messed up. Washington, D.C. has that so messed up. Okay? I don't want to be political. I'm not saying what party. I'm just saying the American culture has that so messed up. We have been called to serve, and that's what Jesus did. And in his greatest, in the most horrific event of all time, what did Jesus say? Father in heaven, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, if possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Or in the King James, not my will, but thy will be done. Does that sound like the American dream to you? You see, the American dream is kind of like, you know, that we've been set free so that we can be as selfish as we want. We can name and claim all kinds of stuff. We can have the abundant life, which means the house, the car, the retirement, all that stuff. You know, and I'm not saying that stuff is bad. But I'm saying that is not what Jesus came to die for. We've been set free so that we can let go of that sin. We can let go of the things that have us ensnared and entangled. You know, we have a beautiful home, but that rascal owns me to some extent. Because I got to keep up. I got to mow grass. And not just mow grass, I got to get the riding mower, then the push mower, then the weed eater. And then I plant more grass, so I got to mow more grass. Now, please, someone help me, because I'm messed up here. See, we've been set free for this, so that we can have intimacy with God. So that we can have loving relationships vertically and horizontally. So that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, not filled with desire for all this other junk, but filled with the Holy Spirit. The joy of doing Abba's will, not my will, but thy will be done. There is great joy in that. I can tell you there's great joy in that. You will never guess. There might be someone here that might guess. My first dream in life, before I prayed to receive Christ, I wanted to own a junkyard. I'm serious. To me, that had been heaven, man. Fooling around on all those cars, mixing and matching, making a hot rod. Man, that was my first dream. Owning a junkyard. And having a junkyard dog. They'll eat you alive. But you know what? And I'm serious. That was my dream. Then Jesus came into my life. I prayed to receive Jesus. And he changed all that. And then I just wanted to serve him. And although I think that running a junkyard would be kind of fun, it is nothing in comparison to the life that the Lord has given me. Another trial. When I won a scholarship through various things, and I went to Letourneau, and I got my pilot's license. I know that's a scary thing. Lynette, she'd get on a motorcycle with me, but never in a plane, ever. And she was a wise girl. She would never get in a plane with me. So I get my pilot's license because I'm thinking maybe I'll join JARS or Jungle Aviation. What's the other one? Wycliffe has stuff and JARS. And I discovered I like flying. I like buzzing cows. That was fun. Now, I know this is going out over the internet, so I'm in trouble already if the FAA hears this. But anyway, my flight instructor was a crop duster. And so, hey, we had so much fun. But you know what? Then I got involved in a youth group, and I was teaching young people the Word of God and lessons and things like that. And the joy of flying a plane could not touch the joy of seeing people get on fire for Jesus. No comparison. None. None. If you really want the abundant life, it's found in doing God's will. Our mission, making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Shalom, the peace of God. I've told you before, you know, God took Lynette home. He was on his throne. He knew everything was going. Jesus walked her through the valley of the shadow of death. I have peace. I have peace because I know where she is. Shalom, the peace of God. I don't care what goes sideways. I don't care what. You know my saying for these services and these things that don't turn out. Hey, there's only happy mistakes in church. There's only happy mistakes. Because God is on the throne. God is never, what do I do now? No. He knows. He can't be surprised. That's part of the great news. He knew what a screw up you were going to be and me. Nothing we do surprises him. He knew what a screw up we would be. Can I say that in church? Screw up? He knew what a screw up you were going to be, and I am. And he still said, I choose you. Because he looked forward in time. He knows all that stuff. And he still said, hey, you're mine. I love you. And that love can win us over. Contentment. Do you really have contentment? The Apostle Paul was amazing at this. Contentment. Do we truly have contentment? This is convicting me. Or now that I have something, do I want a little bit more? And a little bit more. That's the American dream. A little bit more. A little bit more. It is a lie from the pit. Purpose. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have been given to us in a purpose in life. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Now back again. New Testament reality. Driving it further home. If we want to know what the abundant life was like, surely the apostles would have the abundant life. And they would have a house and a car and all this. No, not car. But they'd have all this other stuff. Hey, all but one martyred. All but one martyred. All but one. And the only one that wasn't was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. In prison. And in prison, Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, let your request be known, made unto God. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, that transcends all your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He said that from prison. And it wasn't one of our modern day prisons. It was a hole in the ground. No facilities, no nothing. See, the American dream is twisted. It is not God's plan for our lives. Here, I just made this to try and illustrate. The abundant life is about intimacy with God. On this side, you got isolation from the world, and that's not what God intended. And all through the ages, there's monastic orders and all kinds of the Essenes and all that, and they isolate from the God, and they're hiding. And then you have, on the other hand, you have this wealth and prosperity gospel, name it, claim it stuff. That is not true either. Either extreme and you fall off the law. Here's right in the middle. Intimacy with God and all that that comes with. We have been set free so that we can have an intimacy with God and experience His blessing. Not isolationism and not name it, claim it, and wealth prosperity. That is a perversion of the gospel. Now, does God give us great things at times? Absolutely does. Anyone want to ride on my Yamaha? Let me know. If you're wise, you probably won't. But I'll give you one anyway. Does God give us wonderful things? Yes, He does. But we have to be careful because even those gifts can become an idol. Mom, your children can become an idol. It's so easy to become so child-focused that they replace God. Please, men, your work. Work is a blessing. God made Adam and he gave him a garden to take care of. Work is a blessing from God. But even that can become an idol. Every good gift can become an idol. That's why Doc Holland, one time he challenged me, Jeff, why do you rely on logic so much? Thank you. Thank you. Makes sense. I mean, for 3 months, he hit me in the head. Not physically, but until I finally realized, wow, I've let logic become an idol to me. And again, he wanted it a tool in my toolbox, but it had become a taskmaster that everything had to be logical. And if I could understand it, I would kind of be able to control it. It was a defense mechanism. It was a control mechanism. And I didn't even know it. Even logic can become an idol. Okay, John, and this was one of the passages that we read last week. And it's a way, it's a key to all of this. To the Jews who had believed him. So Jesus was talking to believers here. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. You are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom from self, sin in the world, to live the abundant life. That's what we've been set free from. Again, here's that image again. And I just made this because I like models. When we're set free, we're not set free to indulge in the American dream. A danger of isolationism is over here. And then the other danger, and there's more than two dangers. I just grabbed two of them that are polar opposites. The name and claim it. The abundant life is in intimacy with God. How does that happen? Jesus already told us. If you hold to my teaching, the reality is, what are you holding on to? We're all holding on to something. Is it his teaching? We are all holding on to something. Doc Holland, for 3 months, pounded me. Jeff, you're holding on to logic. You're holding on to logic. You're holding on to logic. It's a nice tool in your toolbox, but it's a horrible God, and it's a horrible taskmaster. You need to let go of that. You need to let go of that. And Jesus is saying, you hold on to my teaching. You need to remain in it, stay in it, persist in it, continue to live in his teaching, continue to dwell. If you hold to my teachings, because they're the opposite of this world. They're the opposite of this world. They're the opposite of the American way of life. They are the opposite. And what happens when we hold on to his teaching? Our mind begins to be renewed. It's the renewing of our mind. And now we're to Paul. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we've all been trained to be good consumers. Now, I go to Walmart because most of the time their food is cheaper and they have great prices. I'm a consumer. If I can find it on the internet cheaper, guess what? Amazon Prime, free shipping, 2-day shipping. If it's cheaper there, done. You see, we've all been enculturated into this consumerism mindset. And basically, a consumer says, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? How do I get the best price? What's the best deal? That's not what the gospel is about. Renewing of our mind. Then you really are my disciple. I can't read. You are really my disciple. And remember, what does the word disciple literally mean? Imitator. What else? follower, what else? Student, learner. If you hold on to my teaching, you really will be my student, my follower, my learner. Because what's going to happen as a student? Hopefully a student learns from transforming of the mind. And then when that happens, you'll know the truth instead of the lies that are being propagated all around us. You'll know the truth. And finally, the truth will set you free. And what is the truth? I'm holding on to logic. I'm holding on to being addicted to stress. If I'm a student of the Lord and He reveals that, I let go of that so that I can hold on to Him. And then you will find the abundant life. Not as North America defines it, but as Jesus did. Intimacy with God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Hey, I actually cooked oatmeal this week and didn't get impatient. If there's hope for me, there's hope for you. Now, you all know that I normally don't have oatmeal because I don't have the patience to wait for the microwave to get done. 2 minutes on setting 5, half power, and it rises and it shuts off, rises. 2 minutes, that's a little too long for me. This week I made it. If there's hope for me, there's hope for you. Amen? Freedom, not to pursue the American dream, but rather freedom to pursue intimacy with Abba, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He wants to set us free from all these things. And these things trap us and ensnare us. Set free from that so that we can hold on to Him. And He'll give us love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. He'll give us gifts of the Spirit to use in the bride and out in the world. He'll give us meaning and purpose. Or you can go after all those other things. But I can promise you, I've done a lot of funerals. I've actually sat with people as they entered in eternity. No one ever told me, wish I spent more time in the office. Wish I had more money. No one ever has said that. At that point of clarity in life, it's all about God and family. Man, let's not wait till then. Let's not wait till then. If you want the abundant life, it's found by asking the Holy Spirit, reveal to me those addictions that I just can't let go of. And through the Holy Spirit's empowerment to let go of those, and then ask Him, help me to just hold on to You, Jesus. Hold on to You. And I know those are abstract concepts. But that's where the abundant life is. The beginning point. Reveal to me what my addictions are. I promise you, every single one of us have an addiction. Probably multiple ones that we're holding on to. The first step, please just reveal that to me. Lord, please reveal that to me. And then ask Him to give us the power to let go of it. It's not going to be easy. And then, Lord, help me to just hug on to You. Help me to hold on to You with everything I am. Let's pray. Father in heaven, there is good news. There's great news. There's amazing news. Jesus, You came. You came to pay our sin debt. You came to set us free. And we want it magically. And we know it doesn't happen that way. We know that You need to reveal to us the things that we're holding on to so tightly. Please, Holy Spirit, if You have not already during this message, please, throughout this day or tomorrow, in Your perfect timing, however You choose, continue to reveal to me and to us what our addictions are. Because You can't heal us from what we deny. You can't heal us from what we rationalize. You can only heal us from what things we acknowledge as truth. And so, Holy Spirit, please reveal to us so that we can acknowledge them, and then we can ask you for the victory, for power to let go and to cling to you. Please, please continue your work in me and in us. And Lord, we've gathered here today and we're going to celebrate communion. We're going to remember your finished work, Lord Jesus. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. And this table, this cup, and this bread, they are elements to help us to remember in these moments ahead, as we remember, as we celebrate, Holy Spirit, just come powerfully upon each one of us. In fact, by faith, I'm going to thank you in advance how that you are going to touch each one of us, how you are going to reveal to me even more addictions that I may not even know about right now. Please reveal to me the addiction, so that I can turn them over to you. Holy Spirit, please come so powerfully upon us that we remember, and we say, thank you, Jesus, for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Prepare our hearts for this time. In fact, I thank you in advance for this opportunity for each of us to remember. May we encounter you in a wonderful and powerful way in these moments ahead. In the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask these things. Amen.